just read this as a family as we're reading through the scriptures, and I thought this is a good topic to bring to our minds tonight as by way of invitation and encouragement to one another, and so take a little time to have for some introspection spiritually in our own minds. This is the account of when Jesus healed the blind man, and when they came across the blind man, the apostles had, or disciples at this point, had some questions for Jesus. Let's go through this passage fairly briefly if we can, and then I want to make a couple of highlighted points to draw our minds to the conclusion. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" I want to stop there just for a moment and say, the question is, of course, posed to Jesus, who sinned so that this man is blind? And then they proffer a suggestion to it. Is it the man himself or his parents? Well, you know, it really begs the question, are those the only two possible answers? You know, for years and years, I had a hard time trying to get somebody to cut my hair the right way. I have a very straightforward, basic haircut. But I just couldn't get somebody to cut it and get the result that I was looking for. But it didn't take me very long to realize that I was getting nowhere, going into a new barber, frustrated with whom I had cut it, go in there and say, "I want you to cut my hair this way so that I can get the look that I'm looking for." Because I don't cut hair. And I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you get the cut that I'm looking for. So I finally figured out the better thing to do was to go in and say, "This is the result that I would like to get. And this is what I've seen." I'd take a picture of something and say, "I'd like this. You know, can you cut my hair this way to get there?" "Well, how would you like this other thing?" I said, "I don't cut hair. I don't know." So I found out the better way to ask a question was to admit, I don't know the answer to it. I don't know how to get there. I just know what outcome I'd like to see or what information I'd like to get out of something. And that's a lesson that was kind of hard learned because I gathered a reputation in Clanton, I promise you, for going through some barbers. I went through some barbers trying to find somebody. I've fortunately been with a lady that I'm with now 10 or 12 years, and she's done a pretty good job for me, at least as far as I can tell in the mirror. So anyway, so the disciples ask this question, and can't you see in their question that they kind of think they already have a pretty good idea of what the answer is? So somebody asks a question, and you can kind of hear in their tone, they're not really asking for a lot of information. They think they've pretty much got it figured out, but they let the master here tweak it a little bit. You know, "Lord, we know this, but can you tell us the next little step?" And Jesus backs up and he says, verse 3, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Jesus says, none of the answers that you've given and you have in your mind are right. I can tell you right now, it's not the man and it's not the parents why this person is born blind. He didn't offer any other suggestions, but I can tell you just, you know, people are blind in the world simply because it's a sinful, fallen world. There's corruption and among everything in the world that Satan has touched. And so Satan has created an environment where things go wrong and things happen sometimes. It could have been somebody else altogether that caused blindness. It could have been something that they ate and they might have been outside of the mother's home and it caused them to be blind or be blind from birth or whatever. They already were thinking very narrowly when they asked the question, and Jesus just dismisses. The only answers they could conceive of are wrong. But this man was born blind for a different reason. He was blind so that the works of God should be made manifest or revealed in him. Now I'm going to read a little more. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent." He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which were before had seen him that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He's like him." But he said, "I am he." Therefore they said unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed, and I received sight." Then said they unto him, "Where is he?" He said, "I know not." They brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, "He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I do see." So he's told the same story every time. He's not embellished it or added anything to it. It's exactly what he did. Verse 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, because that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? Notice how disbelieving the question is, that you say was born blind. Well, mom would know. Dad would know. How then does he now see? Verse 20, his parents answered him and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any did not confess that he was Christ, and he did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. Then again they called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. They said unto him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered and said, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Why do you want to hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now, we know that God heareth no sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto them, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. I'll pause there for just a moment, and we'll read the last few verses in just a moment. So let's consider each one of the people involved in this in the larger sense. There's the man. The man was born blind, and he had his sight restored. And he heard all of this conversation before about maybe why he was blind or what the questions were around it. And Jesus says, not for the sin of the man or not for the sin of the parents. This was so that the works of God might be made manifest or revealed, and so that people could see the works of God. And such an irony in this, right, that it's in a blind man that people will see. So Jesus heals him. And he does it in this really specific way, and that's repeated several times. This very act of healing created personal faith in this man. He didn't yet know everything about Jesus, because Jesus later on asked him a question here at the end, and he didn't really know who it was that was dealing with him. But he went on the evidence of the fact that this person was able to overcome blindness, and he had never heard anywhere in both history and certainly in the scriptures of someone being restored of the blindness like this. It created enough personal faith that he was willing to stand up against the leaders. Verse 25, he answered, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but what I do know is I was blind and now I see. So contradictory to what the elders there, the leaders thought that he should say or could say, well, I know that I was blind and I can see now. So something happened that was pretty special. Verse 30, he tells them again, verse 27, he answered, I've told you already and you did not hear. Would you also be his disciple in this? That incensed them. Verse 30, it's a marvelous thing that you don't know where he's from and yet he's able to open my eyes. You know, somebody that can do this, how are you not in the full knowledge of who this person is going around doing great things like this? You don't know who it is? He's not in your circle? And it's kind of judgmental. And then finally, verse 33, he concludes a little teaching that he does. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. So I don't know exactly who he is yet, but he's from God because look what he did to me. Nobody's ever even heard of this being done before. Great personal faith in this man from the experience that he had. And the disciples would have shared right in that, having watched this so closely, asking a question about it, and Jesus making sure they observed what he did in this man. So he believed Jesus, and then when Jesus identified himself as the Son of God, he says he believed and worshiped him. He recognized him as not just a good man or a prophet, but the Son of God, worthy of worship. And he kneeled down before him to worship him, bowed down. Verse 38. How about the parents? The parents have a reaction to this evidence, right? They didn't see the healing take place, but they know their son. He did not hide for years and years and years that he was blind and make that up. They knew he was blind from birth. Before he would have been able to conceive of the idea of trying to fool them into something for years and years and years, they recognized that their child could not see. Born blind. You know, a parent would know that and it would be clear. There was no deception in that. So they believe the evidence in front of their eyes that this is their son and he can now see and he had never been able to see before. They had never laid eyes. He had never laid eyes on his parents to know what they looked like, as familiar as he would have been with them. But they didn't stand up to the rulers. They just simply confirmed the work that was done that gave their blind son sight. So they believed the evidence, even though they didn't know who to believe in, and that evidence was not enough to make them want to leave the synagogue or be willing to be kicked out of the synagogue for that kind of faith. But they have some belief that has begun to build in them. How about the Pharisees who hear the man? Remember, they didn't see this act that was done. They were told about it, and they inquired about it, and they got some answers to their questions, and they had a hard time receiving all the answers, but they asked the questions and tried to get it. And they find themselves resisting the evidence, but not able to overcome the evidence. Everything around them tells them that this was a blind man, and he can now see. Everything points to that very clearly. But they still attempt to reconcile their own beliefs with the manifest evidence that's in front of them, and they keep coming to the wrong conclusion. Actually, all they can continue to do is simply ask the same question over and over because they're not getting the answer they want. And so that's part of their sin. That's part of their blindness here themselves, is that they're not seeing the evidence for what it actually is, and they're letting themselves be blind by their preconceived ideas that don't fit the power that they're seeing right in front of them. Jesus is not in front of them instructing them and helping them. This is a man who doesn't even know Jesus' name yet, but he's simply seen this power, and he's able to confound them with the idea that this must be from God, and therefore he's an instrument of God to have been able to do this for this man. But they resist, and their only response that they have left then is to push the evidence out the door, cast it away, so they don't have to give any more answer to it, because they can't. They can't answer it and maintain what they already think they know. And then the Pharisees actually hear Jesus. You know, they've cast him out. Jesus finds the man and he proclaims who he is, the Son of God, and the man worships him. In verse 39, that I didn't read yet, says that Jesus began to speak some more, and he said to them, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto them, "Are we blind also?" Accusatory, skeptical. "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." And that's really the crux of all of this, is where it comes down to for them, isn't it? The man had some faith. The parents had some faith built up. The Pharisees have rejected it, and now they are directly confronted by the one, and they can identify now who worked this work. And so Jesus says, "I came for judgment. I came for judgment into the world. To the seeing, so that they won't see. To those who say that they see, that they may be made blind." That's the effect that I have on others. I can make a man who will accept the evidence go from blind to seeing. But the same act, the same words, will take a person who thinks he sees and completely blind him to everything that's true and good. Those are the two reactions. The apostles had the right idea, they just had the wrong means by it. The works of Jesus, the evidence of God, is laid out. And to some, it brings brightness and openness and finally clear seeing. And to others, it blinds and it separates. And it causes someone to simply want to push the evidence out of the way because it doesn't fit what they think that they see. The Pharisees actually took that to heart when Jesus said it, and probably sheepishly or slyly, one or the other asked, "Do you mean us? Are we blind?" He says, "If you were blind, you wouldn't commit these sins." They wouldn't commit these sins against Jesus, this unbelief here, and later on this persecution and taking him to the cross, crucifying a completely innocent man who is obvious to others to be the Son of God, the power of God, the manifest works of God, and yet they're going to crucify him. "But because you maintain your sight," he says, "because you think you have insight already, and it's wrong, then you prove your blindness, and you remain in your sin, and you will continue to pursue this until I'm hanging on a cross by your hand." He doesn't use all those words, but he lays it out for them. This conflict that he has with the Pharisees in particular, the pious ones, the ones who are think that they know the scriptures and the law and can teach anyone and no man can teach them, as they pointed out here. "Who are you to teach us?" You know, they didn't think they could be taught. They were the teachers and they wanted to maintain that. This argument goes on for quite a while. Would you just briefly turn over to chapter 12? Because after several other events, this is still on Jesus' mind as he's dealing with the Pharisees. And in John chapter 12, verse 42, he really makes the point. He brings it back to the same thing in the face of the Pharisees again. Verse 42, to pick it up, he says, the writer of John says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." The same problem the parents had, right? At least taking it on fully at that time. Verse 43, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." You believe on him who sent me through Jesus. When we believe on Jesus, we are believing the Father. We're believing the word that he sent into the world, the light of the world. Verse 45, he continues, "He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness," should not stay blind, should not be unseeing. Verse 47, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." All right, now, just I want to point out briefly that when he was talking to the Pharisees earlier, he said, chapter 9, verse 39, "For judgment I came into this world." But now he says here, "I did not come into the world for judgment. I didn't come in to judge men. He came that judgment might be rendered." But Jesus is not going around trying to point fingers and saying, "You don't believe in me, you don't believe in me." He's laying out the evidence. They're deciding if they want to believe or not. They're judging him and the evidence that he's giving before them. Verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Judgment is coming through Jesus Christ. But the judgment is whether or not someone will see the truth that's being revealed and accept it, believe it, and act upon it, regardless of what other people might say or do to you, or reject it, stay blind, never have the answers, and die in your sins. It's interesting what a fundamental gospel message this all is, this argument comes down to. In this great event, the question for us as we read a passage like this is, will we stay blind or will we have our eyes opened? And brethren, I'm not just talking about visitors or a young person who hasn't committed their life to Christ. I'm talking about every single one of us, no matter how long we've been a Christian even. Take the blinders off. Make sure when we hear God's word, when we read the examples of Jesus, when we meditate on his word, that we do not take our preconceived ideas. We have to open our mind to see the evidence for what it is. This man was born blind and lived many years blind so that the works of God might be made clear. It's so ironic that Jesus says, this man is born blind so that you can see what I have to offer the world, what God is giving the world through me. Later on, he says, you know, do you believe in the Son of God? He says, I don't know who that is. He says, you've seen him. The first face you ever saw with your eyes was the Son of God. If you want to open your eyes, the first face that you can see is the Lord Jesus. If we'll open our minds spiritually, if we will look at his word genuinely, openly, we will see Jesus. He will be there, and it will be clear. The evidence is there. The choice is ours. Jesus himself doesn't judge us. We are judged by our response to him. You have an opportunity tonight to respond. Are you going to stay blind, or are you going to open your eyes so that you can see? The opportunity is ours every day when we consider God's word. And if you need to respond to the gospel, please do that now as we stand and sing.